From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So there you go. And we are glad that Jennifer Campbell is joining us in person.
Yeah.
You were in the building. We had the long hook and pulled you in.
Exactly.
Yes.
I mean, any chance to use the golden microphone?
Yes, indeed. The golden microphone. Only tour guests. They don't let me near the golden microphone.
No.
It recognizes only truth. Yeah. You could tell a lie into the golden microphone, it will translate it into truth.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yes, magic. So, on fire. Actually, an event happened with people.
An event happened with people. Yes, that's true.
And it was successful.
And it was a great day.
This was Six Flags Discovery Kingdom in Vallejo, on fire.
On fire.
Our annual gathering of youth, and it did not happen last year.
It did not.
And you plowed ahead this year.
We sure did.
By golly.
It was a great day. I mean, and it's a collaboration with all the 9 NorCal dioceses and the Diocese of Reno. So we had young people from all over joining us that day. And it was actually really great. The weather was spectacular. If you've been to On Fire in the past, it's often really, really warm.
Really warm.
The sun.
Once in a while it rains.
Once in a while it has rained. But a lot of the times it's been like super hot. And
right. This
year we were just blessed with some cloud cover that gave us some shade. It was a little mist.
It was a much cooler day all around.
It was a much cooler day. Yeah. So that, I mean, it really does make it a lot more fun. Also, people are afraid of clouds. And so other people who might have gone to the park that day didn't.
They stayed home.
They stayed home and missed out on a great day where, the park was pretty empty aside from us, which is not always the case. And the participants got to have just a really great day hanging out with their friends in the park. And we, started with Mass like we always do.
With Bishop Soto.
With Bishop Soto was our presider. And Bishop Vasha from Santa Rosa also was there. Our homilist was Father Radmar, who was just a delight. As excited as I was that he was going to be there, like meeting him in person and having his energy was just, it was great.
And he was an actor for a while.
He was an actor for a while. And he's now the vocation director for the Jesuits, the Western province. Yeah, that's the word, that word.
They all these different titles.
Yes. Yeah. So, And we didn't even discuss it. Like he asked me like, what are some points you want to make sure I hit? And I was like, no, focus on the readings and, make sure you talk about how we're able to gather again, because that's, these kids have not been around other, maybe their schools were open, maybe for limited or
so
whatever.
So when he's speaking, where is he speaking? And where are people sitting or standing?
We have our opening Mass and we do most of our everything in Chabot Stadium, which is if you went to Six Flags when it was a long time ago, they used to have a water ski show, which does not happen anymore, but it's where the water ski show was. That's the stadium that we use. So he's out on a platform stadium. We turn it in with an altar and an ambo, bring all that. We bring everything. And that's where he's speaking from. So, and he really talked about vocation and, that discernment process and worked that into the readings, which was just such a great way to inspire our young people to really talk about discernment. And, and it's not just discerning forever, but it's discerning to make a choice. And you have to actually make that choice and try out that decision and, go for it.
Well, it's interesting, too, that you had two speakers who were already adults and had other vocations prior to, because it tells people that even though generally people are younger when they make that choice, that you can always make that choice.
You can always. I mean, Sister Josephine, who spoke at the end of the day during our adoration, she did the reflection for adoration. She made her, became Catholic later in life, and not that she's old. When I say later in life, it makes it sound like she's old or something. She's not. She fully professed just last year, as a sister. And but, you know, only 10, 15 years ago became Catholic, mm-hmm. When she was in college at the University of Dallas. So that idea of this is your vocation and choosing that was something that both speakers touched upon and something that kids don't think about necessarily. You might go to college and find this career that you love and then decide that that God is saying, like, nope, not that. Right, like, let's go over here. You know, we all need to learn to pivot, and sometimes you have to make a hard left.
Yeah, that's right. She told me one day that she didn't really realize the University of Dallas was a Catholic school.
I've heard her say that, too, which I think is pretty funny. But because... Yeah, it just really is. But she didn't even know when she went to school there. And so we also got to see some of her dance moves because Joe Melendrez, who was our MC for the day, he does Catholic Zumba and does a lot of like get people up and moving and invites, you know, the teens up on the stage with him and teaches them a dance or something. And in the morning and in the afternoon, he got Sister up there moving. So the kids really appreciated seeing her. And it would be kind of like everyone's, you know, dancing or whatever. And then all of a sudden Sister's up there dancing and you're just hearing the like hooting and hollering from all the teens. Like they just were shocked and like really, really appreciated her energy.
Did a lot of parents come?
The chaperones, so we need parents as chaperones. So yeah, we had a number of adults there with their young people. We had a good number of vocation offices to do our vocation carnival. This year we actually had 8 different orders/dioceses participated.
How do they run the vocations carnival?
So the vocations carnival happens during lunch. This year it was free for the orders to join us. They just had to buy their tickets in because that's something that's done by the park.
Right.
And they have a table with, you know, some prayer cards or whatever they want to give away. And we have different carnival games for them to utilize and as a way to like just a good, conversation starter. So it's really easy. A kid wants to go up and play a game, but especially if there's candy involved and a prize that they could win.
Right.
And so that's kind of how they engage them in conversation. We had some very like young orders, and we also had an order that both of the sisters were quite older than everyone else there. And it's still great for the kids to see all of this diversity within our different orders and within the church. So, yeah, it was really cool.
Do you think a lot of kids brought friends of theirs that maybe weren't Catholic and just to...
You know, I don't know. We actually were talking a lot about that, you know, On Fire, it's not like your normal young youth conference, like a Steubenville conference. It's not that idea. It's not evangelization. It's not a catechesis event. It's pre-evangelization. It's that time before we're really trying to evangelize them, where we're giving them like it's like kind of a look and see of like what Catholicism is and offering that. So it's such a great opportunity for our young people to bring their friends that maybe aren't Catholic. I'm not sure. You know, like I don't have a poll of like who was Catholic, who wasn't. You know, I think the majority of the young people that come are the kids that come to youth group every week or however your parish does youth group and are active in their parishes. But there are, you know, a decent number who maybe aren't as active in their parishes. Mm-hmm. And this is a great way for them to kind of see all of what makes up the church.
Now, an all-you-can-eat lunch, and you promised me you'd bring me some if there was some left over. I didn't see you walk in with a basket or anything.
They don't allow you to leave the picnic grove with the food, so I couldn't. But yeah, there.
So what do they serve? What?
Burgers.
Yeah, burgers.
Yeah, burgers, hot dogs. There's pasta salad, and fruit. Not fruit salad. Sometimes it's fruit salad, just from fruit, and then sodas and ice cream sandwiches.
All the bananas you can eat.
Yeah, no, it was apples.
Apple's my limit.
Yeah, you know, and it was kind of, that was something that was really exciting because usually, like, I've seen the kids leaving this all-you-can-eat lunch or in this all-you-can-eat lunch, and they're mostly just eating the burgers and the chips.
Right.
But I think because it was apples, which is, like, something that most kids like, and it's easy to eat. Like, I was just seeing kids walking around with apples all day instead of, like, junk food, which I was like, well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, they're putting the apples in their backpacks, taking them for later, but... Which I think is That's silly, great. But good.
Yeah. What'd you have, cotton candy, corn dog? No, I had an apple.
I had an apple. Yeah. Like making healthy choices, yes. You know, all the way around. We like that.
That's good. That's good.
It's good. And then our band Epic was there with us, and I had not met them in person before. Again,
they're from Florida.
They're from Florida. I'm meeting all these people. It was so bizarre. Aside from Joe Melendres, I hadn't met any of our speakers in person or musicians in person before. So getting to meet...
Nobody's met anybody in person for about 2 years.
True story. So it was just kind of nice to get to see them in person. And they debuted a song that they wrote with Joe Melendres at the concert in the evening.
Was it good?
It was really good. It was a good song. And if you go to the NorCal On Fire, which I think is called NorCal Catholic Youth on Instagram, you can, in our highlighted stories, you can see part of the song. I put it in our highlighted stories. So if you know social media there, you can find it there. And I know they recorded it. So they were recording it to like release it as a video or something. So I'm sure they will soon.
Excellent.
Yeah. It was really exciting for them to do that. And the band was great. You know, they were missing one of their musicians because her father had passed away recently, and so, you know, that was a bummer. We were excited for, you know, the full band, but they were so good, and they were, you know, the kids seemed to really be into their music, and it was a good day.
Do they go around the country performing?
They do. They go around. They tour like all the time. They've sung at the National Catholic Youth. Catholic Federation for Youth Ministry, that's what it is. They have an event called Holy Fire, which is a middle school event, and they've performed at that a couple times. I think the one in Chicago, the one in Nashville. They tour like Texas, Florida, southern states mostly. So
wow.
One of the guys just comes in his LA hat. He was very, very excited to be on the West Coast, and I was like, well... You know.
Left coast, as they call it. Back
yeah. East. Yeah. I was like, well, you know, like you are in San Francisco Giants territory. So be careful with that LA hat.
Yeah.
It doesn't say Dodgers. So you were safe. But I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful.
People are pretty crazy about that stuff.
They really are.
Yeah. Indeed. So did you go on any rides?
I didn't.
Yeah.
But Deacon Kevin did, and Father Radmar went on a bunch of rides.
What did Deacon Kevin ride? We want to know. The world wants to know.
The world wants to know. I'm trying to remember. I think Medusa was one of the ones they went on. They were telling me all about
and
them.
What's Medusa?
It is a roller coaster that does not go upside down, or maybe it does. No, it doesn't. They went on Medusa. Father Radmar went on the Batman ride, which I looked at it and said, no, thank you.
He struck me as like he would probably do that.
It like twists and goes upside down while on a roller coaster. So like it's a roller coaster, like regular roller coastery thing. But then the like actual car twists and turns in different ways. I was like, no, thank you.
Not recommended after lunch.
No, that was... the band was going to go on some rides. And they're like, well, let's eat first. And I was like, I recommend rides, then eat. So. That would be...
I remember doing that at the state fair one time after an Orange Julius. And it was not pretty.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, there are worse things, but it's not great. It's not great. So, yeah, you know, with that exclusive ride time at the end of the day, kids can go on so many rides. And we had...
Without long waits.
It's just us. We did have, you know, a smaller group than we normally would. So I'm sure they got to do some extra rides, too.
So how your turnout was smaller as well or not?
Our turnout was smaller than what we
expected.
Yes, it was totally expected. It really gave us an opportunity to have people to spread out if they needed to, if they wanted to. You know, masks we were wearing in the park, and they weren't required because it's outdoors, but we were, you know, encouraging masks, especially if you aren't vaccinated. So with the number we had, we were able to be spread out a little bit more than we normally would in the outdoor venue. Wow. Yeah. So it was a good day though. I had a lot of fun.
So I'm sure the day it's over, you guys are already, you know, sitting down and saying, okay, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? What worked? What didn't work?
Oh, for sure. I mean, if you've met Deacon Kevin, we're doing that during the day.
Yeah.
at a certain point, you know,
let's can this part.
Yeah, yeah, you know, we're trying different things, and so we definitely will have another meeting and sit down and just discuss on what we really liked, what we, you know, thought we could do better, and how we can advertise things differently. Excuse me. And start planning for next year. We're trying to work with the park to get our date for next year and start figuring out who our musicians are going to be and, you know, who our MC is going to be and all of that.
The park really enjoys this, right?
They do. I mean, they're so great to us. It's a great, just a great organization to get to work with. You know, it's pretty much all inclusive. Like, you know, there's parts of it being all inclusive that are a struggle, but sure. It makes it really easy for a day. You know, we show up, we set up our stuff.
It's not a fundraiser.
It is not.
I mean, the expense is what it costs to rent the park and have food.
Yeah, because we're not renting the park. So right. The tickets and everything are sold by the park. And then any of the money on top of the, like, regular ticket price, they give, you know, it's a little discounted ticket price, that expense, that's covering our expenses.
Sure,
so
sure.
That's covering our speaker costs because they're not free.
Yeah.
But it's covering the cost of our speakers. It's covering, you know, like sound. It's covering some of the hotels and transportation and all that kind of good stuff.
So are there other events like this around the country?
Yes, there are. So Life Teen does some event similar to this. They do one in Southern California. And I think in Arizona, maybe they do it at a different, like, amusement parks. They do something similar, mm-hmm. but not, it's just different, but it's not the same as ours. But this, the idea of a collaboration between nine dioceses where all nine dioceses really have bought in and are helping with certain parts of the day. I mean,
right.
We're the organizing diocese, so we do the, you know, the lion's share. But the other dioceses are all there to help us and support in different ways, helping with, you know, organizing, just staying at the booths that we have for confession and making sure we have priests all day, things like that. We have different diocesan directors do different pieces like that.
But did it originate here in the diocese?
The idea for it? Yes. Deacon Kevin Stasko.
Kevin. Yeah. Figured.
Yeah. It was Deacon's, brainchild and then he got everyone else on board, and that's how it happened.
How many years have we had?
12 years ago.
12?
Mm-hmm. This is our 12th one, and I have been at all 12. Well, last year's was all online, and I was actually at all of the online, so I guess it does count, but yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot.
So, changes for next year?
Let's see. Well, I really liked the schedule of not having talks in the middle of the day. It made it.
Yeah, this is a change.
This was a change. We've, in the past, we've had talks throughout the day. The reason we decided to not have them was we wanted kids to have an opportunity to really just gather with each other and enjoy themselves, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. not be rushing from one thing to another.
Right.
Because I just think it adds stress. It doesn't add, like, joy or fun.
Right.
So, you know, we eliminated those talks in the middle of the day. We made, you know, we tightened up our schedules for the morning and the evening. I really think that was a great, you know, contribution that we did. I would like to really work next year. Something we're going to really try to do is get a better Catholic scouting contingent. You know, that's a whole form of youth ministry that sometimes doesn't feel connected with the rest of their parishes. And so, you know, we tried to do something this year. It didn't really work. But for next year, it's definitely something we want to have more of an active participation in with scouts. They don't have to wear their whole scouting get-ups if they don't want to, but just, you know, something kind of representational, a little bit better. For them, yeah.
Wow. So, what's on your plate now? You just put your feet up for something.
Oh yeah,
I do nothing.
Nothing. I have nothing to do from, you know, now until summer. Well, right now we are, you know, we're starting to rent out Trinity Pines for retreat groups. So if your parish is looking,
and we should tell people that, unfortunately, the great ministry days. It has been postponed.
Postponed.
Not canceled.
We're still looking for, or still trying to confirm our date.
That would probably be in the spring sometime.
It'll be in the spring sometime, yeah. So that's still coming up. You know, we're taking bookings for Trinity Pines. So if you have a parish that's looking for a retreat center, we do daily retreats.
In Colfax.
In Colfax. It's not too far from Sacramento.
So what's available there? When somebody, like, is it a parish can have a retreat or mm-hmm. an organization?
A parish can have a retreat. A movement within the church can have a retreat. There's priority is given to anything with youth.
Mm-hmm.
Family, like some parishes in the past have done like family retreats. They can do that.
Now, is there staff there?
Nope.
No.
No, you
so
just
you would do your own cooking.
You do your own cooking, all that. Mm-hmm. There is a daily fee that per person that you pay, that gives you the to utilize any of the space. But yeah, you do your own cooking and everything like that.
So what facilities are available there?
There's two big meetings.
I'm sure there's people listening now with their ears perked up. Like,
There's a dining hall and kitchen. There's a arts and crafts building. It's just a meeting space that's more outdoors, outside, so that it's easier if you have something messy. There is a fire pit. There is a pond that is stocked with fish.
Can you eat the fish?
I wouldn't recommend
it. Can you catch them and cook them in the community kitchen?
I mean, you can catch them. I don't know that I'd recommend cooking them.
Okay. I think Gabe's been up there fishing.
Gabe has been up there fishing with his family.
Gabe, did you catch any fish? He's not responding.
He's not responding.
Yeah.
I think he didn't. I don't know. I don't know how good of a fisher person he is.
Fisher of men.
There's dorms, and then there are two large meeting spaces. So one holds 150 and one holds 40.
And how many people could he accommodate for overnight?
For overnight, with COVID protocols, we're at a half of our capacity for the dorms. So the dorms, we have 120 beds. So right now we can do 60.
And like
safely.
Two beds to a room or something like that?
So it's their open, their old portable classrooms that were turned into dorms. So there are 12 beds per building.
Uh-huh.
And so you would be able to do 12 people per building instead of 24 because they're bunks.
But they're not private rooms.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
There are a couple private rooms. So if you have clergy
or
sisters or something, Yeah, so that's all that's available. But so that's
year round.
There is a pool if you go in the summer. You have to bring your own lifeguard, though. I don't have a lifeguard. I could probably find you one, but that's a whole different thing.
I'm the permanent lifeguard.
Yeah, I mean,
Trinity Pines.
You know, that's a great volunteer opportunity for you, Bob.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're working on that. We've got the Fired Ups coming up, which is all of our confirmation conferences. Two weekends this year, again, one in November, one in January.
And where will those be?
So the one in November is open to, there's a Friday, it's a Friday and Saturday this year. So Friday is that going to be at St. Clair's in Roseville. And that one is for our Catholic school classes uh-huh. that are, so the seventh or eighth grade classes, depending on what age your elementary school does confirmation. So that will be on that day at St. Clair's. And then the second day on November 20th is in the North State. It's in Red Bluff at the State Theater up there. So North State parishes mostly. I mean, if you're in Sacramento area and would prefer to, you know, go in November, you can do that. That's up to you. And then we'll have the second group of them in January. So January 29th and 30th, a doubleheader for those of baseball fans, at Christian Brothers High School, a morning and an afternoon opportunity. So your parish chooses one or the other. And then on Sunday, it'll be in Vallejo at St. Vincent, St. Pat's.
Yeah.
Okay. And that one is just a one, just in the morning.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
We're busy. Busy. And I'm sure there's lots of the other things that we're...
Now, is Camp Pendola just closed down in the winter?
It does. Yep. It's just closed in the winter.
Does it have a caretaker?
It does, sort of. It has someone who goes and checks it every couple days.
Uh-huh.
We don't currently have somebody living up there, but we do have someone who goes up there regularly and checks it out for us.
So when you open it up for the summer, is there, you know, do the... is it like you've had a mountain cabin and it's closed for 9 months? And
why, yes, sir.
Doing it.
Why, yes.
Carefully.
Why, yes.
Raccoon living in there.
We, yes. It's mostly, I mean, to be perfectly honest, it's mostly little mice and spiders that like to move into the cabins.
Oh, everybody's gone.
So, you know, they move in. It's nice and warm. Whatever. Yeah. So our old, she was our nurse for a number of years, Miss Bobby. She refers to it as, we give them all eviction notices. They have 24 hours to vacate. We're just, you know, very loud the first couple days and make sure they know, hey, we're back. Time for you to move it along.
Yeah.
The mice are fairly responsive. The spiders, not so much.
Catholic mice, right?
Yeah, good Catholic mice. They realize it's time to go.
Yeah.
Once they start smelling the peppermint, you know, you spray that everywhere, then they're like, oh, I'm out. It actually does pretty well.
Wow.
Shockingly.
Who knew?
I learned that in the last.
Spiders don't go anywhere, though.
No, they're like, whatever, I'm here till you know, escort them out.
Yeah. Humanely.
Sometimes. Depends on if they're friendly or not.
I never understood how you treat an animal humanely. It seems to me you'd have to be a human to be treated humanely. You can treat it animally. It's
true.
A language thing.
It's a language thing. You know, yeah, totally. So, you know, that's the stuff we're working on. And then just, you know, starting to plan for next summer.
And that's usually in May when you get up there and kind of clean it up.
Yeah, sure. Start getting up there in May. We do work weekend, Memorial Day weekend.
Does the pond ever freeze over?
I don't think it's frozen over. We empty it at the end of the season.
Oh, okay.
It empties. If we don't empty it, it's been known to spill over the banks and the roads.
Sure.
So it's really important that we do that. Yeah. It's those little things that you just don't think about that it's very, very important that one does.
And they get some snow up there once in a while?
They get quite a bit of snow,
really?
Actually. Yeah, that's part of the reason we don't use it off season.
Yeah.
Though we get quite a bit of snow, yeah.
It's only, 3,000 feet or something?
Yeah, I think that's
not
correct.
Real high.
It's not super high, but it's just, you know,
it's
when
a little
we
bit north and
when we get snow, we get it.
Yeah.
The same with Colfax. Like, we don't often get snow, but at least since I've started, at least once a year, it's maybe twice.
This usually they say on Channel 3, you know, well, Mark Finan says, as low as Colfax.
Yeah. Well, and Colfax is where, if you're crossing over on 80, like into Nevada, that's where they stop you.
Right.
And have you turn around if they've closed 80 is Colfax. So if that gives you any perspective to where it is.
And that's only a couple thousand feet, too.
Yeah, it's not very high.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't get it all the time, but when we do, it's always
fun.
It's nice.
Have you been there when it's snowing?
Yes, multiple times.
Wow.
One time it started snowing and I was like, oh, I'm in my little Ford Focus. I better go.
You better go.
I gots to go. Another time.
Nobody's going to plow that road, right?
No. They stop right before us. So it's a fairly active road, but I just didn't.
Is that a road to somewhere besides
Rollins,
Camp Pendola?
Oh, well, Pendola, I haven't been to Pendola when it's snow.
But
No, Pendola, they do not plow any of the roads for Pendola.
Right.
I thought you meant in Colfax. In Colfax, they don't plow it either. I've been in Colfax when it snowed and I was like, that's to go. Bye.
Yeah.
But we've had, you know, the old caretaker was up there when it snowed and he's like, just so you know, I'm probably going to lose, you know, we're going to lose internet.
Yeah.
And you know, they don't plow the road. So he would park it at the top of the hill and snowshoe in and out.
Wait it out.
Wow. Yeah. You just got to wait it out. And if you needed to leave, snowshoe in and out.
So is Camp Pendola going to be in that site for the time being, as far as you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I really don't. I'm not sure. I think
so. Did
you
get around to the 60th anniversary yet?
It's been and gone. I think we're not going to be able to celebrate that. So COVID eliminated that for us. So we'll see what we can do. 65 years. It'll be coming up.
Yeah, it will.
Right?
We don't know. Jennifer, appreciate you taking the time to come in.
Yeah, of course.
Thrilled to hear that it was a great event.
Thank you.
And the rain held off.
It did.
See, it never even rained here, but they were predicting rain in the Bay Area.
Yeah, we just got a little drizzle.
Yeah.
It's all good.
That's it. All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bob.
We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hello, this is Moises De Leon from the Office of Family and Respect Life. You're listening to Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunnan.
Thank you, Moises, for that wonderful introduction, and thanks for all the great work you do here and very important work here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, what is God asking me to do as a parent was a title of a story in our great current issue of the Catholic Herald, and here to tell us all about it is one of the people featured in that, Christina Acosta. Christina, good day to you.
Hi, thanks for having us on.
Hey, thanks for joining. Is Miguel with you as well?
Yeah, he's here.
Oh, hey, okay. Bob, Miguel, welcome to you too.
Hey, good to talk to you again, Bob.
Good to talk to you. I'm looking at the photo of your family. It's you can't say it, but I can. What a good looking family!
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, reminds me of growing up as a kid. I'll tell you, that's wonderful. So, tell us, what is God asking you to do as a parent? That's a tough question.
Yeah, that is.
I think that Bob. Really what he's asking us is to be faithful and to kind of live out that faith in the rhythms of our daily life, even in small ways. And I think that in the article we talked a little bit about that, but we really try to do as parents, try to incorporate acting out that faith in the rhythms of our daily life from the morning and throughout the rest of the day through the evening, and even in small ways.
Yeah, I mean, St. Therese talks about, the little way, and doing just everyday things, to holiness. That I think sometimes we all think we have to do something really grand or something that the whole world is going to notice, and that's not what God's necessarily asking of us. So, Miguel, you and your son Mateo went to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City?
Yeah, no, it was a wonderful trip, kind of a coming-of-age trip that I was able to take with my eldest son. And, I think that, I've always had kind of a devotion to Our Lady. I think, she really is instrumental in our lives and bringing us really back to faith, and always had a devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe. And so wanted to take my son there to the shrine. And, I think it was really interesting because, he had always heard about it, kind of heard about her, the stories. But what he remarked to me that I thought was really, really poignant was after he went, and you know, it was so moving that he really said, you know, this is real. Before I thought it was a really like fairy tale, but he could really embrace that. And so, you know, I think that, again, that's Our Lady at work in our lives.
Yeah, in my experience, she's a stalker. She won't let you go. She keeps appearing in my life, you know, and she's very powerful. So describe, you know, for people, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I want to do that one day. I want to do that sometime. How did you accomplish that? You get on an airplane? Did you take a car? What are the logistics of it?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, I really want to tell people, you know, we're here in California, right, Sacramento, California. We're really so close. You know, it's really, we're talking maybe a four and a half hour flight down. And, you know, it's very accessible.
Especially from Sacramento, lots of flights to Mexico City.
Yeah, you think about flying to the East Coast, it's a lot longer.
Right.
You go down there and you know, one of the things that made it really easy is we took Uber all around. Uber is really great. But, you know, there's so many other, you know, great churches and great places to see in Mexico City. Obviously, it's a very, the Catholic roots there are so strong.
Right.
And I think, again, it's just very accessible. It's very close. She's right in our backyard.
Yeah. So where's the shrine in relation to Mexico City?
Gosh, you know, I think you'd have to take a look at that, but, you know, it's very close, you know, so you fly into Mexico City, and actually it was interesting because I had a brief conversation with Bishop before I went on the trip, and he mentioned to a couple of different spots for us to take a look at. There's a Church of the Holy Family where Blessed Miguel Pro is buried, and we were able to see that as well. But you know, she's very close right there to the central city, very accessible, and you know, so many pilgrims. You just feel the love as soon as you start entering into the plaza. So many pilgrims there, and you can just tell she truly is our mother, and we are all her children.
You didn't go on December 12th, did you?
That's next on the bucket list, Bob.
I've heard that is quite the experience. Indeed. Well, so what was Mateo's reaction?
You know, I think that, you know, back to the kind of the point of the article, we want to say living out our faith. You know what, I really think that he enjoyed just being with Dad. And I think we had a great father-son experience, and I think that as a Catholic father, you know, that's one of my roles is to lead my children to the faith through my own kind of faith walk as well. And so I think that he just really enjoyed spending that time with me, and really Our Lady told me, you know, he's going to see the love of the faith through my devotion to her. And so I think ultimately he just really just liked being with Dad. And I saw how important it is to be, you know, a Catholic father following my faith.
So your kids range in age from 4 to 16, a fairly wide range. Tell us how you can incorporate faith into daily lives, you know, with that age range.
Yeah, I think we really try to just take every child where they are in their particular stage of development, and you know, I think the rosary plays a key role, especially for the younger children, right? You know, they see us praying the rosary, and so we teach them about the prayers, and I think for the young ones, you know, again, I think the rosary is a big part, but you know, really kind of turn some of that over to my wife. Who kind of does a lot of homeschooling in the family, she's able to lead our young ones in a very unique way.
So, Christina, you were quoted here saying, "The Lord loves our children more than we do." You go on to say, as a mom, I have to try hard not to over-evaluate where my children are spiritually. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, I think that the question that had been posed to me had to do with, you know, do you see signs that your kids are going to stay faithful or something like that? And it's interesting because I do think as parents that we are always, you know, praying, you know, that our kids are going to stay faithful, they're sure. going to stay Catholic. And it's a tricky balance, you know, to put out these efforts but not to have anxiety or worry, you know, creep in. And so I think that that's kind of what I was trying to speak to, is just that we put out our efforts, you know, and we do the best we can, but we really just surrender everything to God, you know, in terms of the outcome, and just trust that the Lord is working in our kids' lives so that we don't have to worry, you know, we don't have to kind of like analyze too much about what's going on with them, but just to do what we feel we should be doing for them and to let the rest be a work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm, well said. You know, I find with our own kids that it's obviously hard. That emphasizing the love and the goodness of our faith we're a faith of hope and love and charity and all those good things. That when I was growing up, there was a lot more emphasis on rules and don'ts, and I think that can cause kids to rebel, you know, and say, oh, I can't wait to go off to college. Do you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
and I sense with my own kids a much, much stronger connection to the faith than I think I had growing up, even though we had pretty good examples in my parents, just because of the emphasis on so much good that the church is doing.
Yeah, I do think, like, just having joy and so forth and, you know, modeling that kind of in our marriage as much as we can. Mm-hmm. One thing that we didn't really talk about in the article, but that I think is really kind of central to how we do that is through our, like, openness to life. And so it's central in that I really think that was a big part of our coming back into the church, was understanding and kind of, frankly, healing of our own marriage and so forth, was coming to understand the church's teaching in that way. And so our kids have, especially our older kids, have watched us transition a little bit from, you know, being closed to life to being open to life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just very, I guess, I don't know how to put it. It's just how we're living out our faith in a very practical way. And so sometimes it's just the best witness we can give to them of how much we love them, you know, mm-hmm. and how much we love our family, that it's both sacrificial and it's about, like, obedience, you know, to teaching and showing them that we really believe in what the church says and what our Lord wants for us, you know, so we kind of talk with them about that too and why we have made decisions to follow the teaching of the church in this way. And I think that has made a pretty big impact on the kids, especially, again, the older ones. So it's really not anything major, but it's really, I think, just living your life the way the church kind of teaches. I think that's the best that we can do, at least.
Yeah, I've found that the example of parents, obviously not just me, but I think everybody would agree with this, that if the kids sense the parents don't really believe it or only sort of believe it or sort of lukewarm, it's not going to take,
you know, they're gonna see right through it. And when the kids see that mom and dad really do believe this, that God is and Jesus are not just a part of their life, like a compartment, like on Sunday, but are central to their lives, they really pick up on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we also just are really fortunate to have a lot of families that we know that also live their faith throughout the week, you know, that mm-hmm. we see on a regular basis. So we've kind of been intentional about that, you know, making friendships for ourselves. And for our children with other families that are seeking the same thing. So that living our faith out is normal. It's not, since it's when we have a family over with eight children, that's normal. That's uh-huh. not
right.
unusual. And I remember when I was growing up, big families were unusual mm-hmm. and almost seen as a little bit odd or something.
Right, right.
And so we really wanted to, you know, try to raise our kids in an environment that embraced, you know, the joy of the faith in that way. Because every time one of our friends gets pregnant, you know, everyone's excited and the kids are excited. And it's not, it's not an unusual thing. It's just like, kind of like, oh, you know, there's going to be another baby soon. Mm-hmm. We can't wait, you know, for that little baby to be born.
Well, we have six, and we're aware of how some people feel about that, but we sort of laugh about it. Not in a self-righteous way, but just, you know, it's just what God gave us, you know. We didn't plan it that way. It just sort of happened.
Right.
So tell us just briefly about each of your kids, either Miguel or Christina, either of you.
Yeah, so our eldest is—he's a sophomore in high school, and I just can't believe how big he's actually almost bigger than I am. And you know, I'm a fairly tall individual, and you know, I just see him growing physically so much bigger. But I think I also see him growing in the faith to kind mm-hmm. of match that strength in his body, and then my next oldest son is 14, and he's seeking his confirmation this uh-huh. year, and it's so exciting, you know, seeing him. And as you know, Bob, you mentioned you have six kids. You see how different each and every one of
oh,
them
yeah.
are.
They're unique.
And how unique, and how many, and the different gifts that God has given each one of them. So my next oldest, he's quite the artist. He does a lot of animation. Mm-hmm. Just a beautiful, joyful young man. And then we have a little bit of a break in between our children. And then Dominic comes in. He'll be seven. And then Kiara, four. And then we actually are, I don't know if, I guess we'll just share this now here on your show. We're expecting our fifth child now as we're speaking to you now.
How so wonderful.
Just very, we actually let the children know. We shared the joy of Christina coming home yesterday and sharing the heartbeat, and you know, they were so excited. So excited. So yeah, the little ones are very happy to welcome. They're looking forward to that.
Well, that's such great news. Maybe you'll inspire us to start a new segment here on the Bishop's Hour where people will announce that they're pregnant.
Yeah, you had us on at a nice time.
That's so nice. That's wonderful. Do you have a due date yet?
It's in early May.
Okay.
We were actually extra surprised because we've had a number of miscarriages, mm-hmm. you know, in the last 4 or 5 years. And this is almost like a miracle. I'm 44, and I would love the prayers of your listeners
yes.
for our baby since we're on the air, because, you know, we're just trying to be surrendered to God's will. But I had expected it to be another miscarriage, and then to see the baby on the ultrasound yesterday was pretty amazing. It was
That's
getting
great.
To share that with the kids. So,
prayers are assured.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely assured. Now, I notice all six of you are smiling in the picture,
and the clock behind you says 8:15. It can't be 8:15 in the morning.
Well,
8:15 in the morning in my house, there would not be all six of us smiling.
Yeah, no, we took care to make sure that the little ones were fed nice breakfast. Very important to keep their sugar levels up, right?
Yes, right.
Because the hungry kid is an unhappy kid.
That's right. Well, I think at 8:15 p.m. we could get six smiles in our family. I'm not sure about a.m. We it's like reinventing the wheel every morning. We have until two of them went off to college just this year. We had four teenagers, you know, like 3 months ago in the house, you know, and it's
wow.
Like every morning you're just, can't we figure this out? You know, it's like racing out the door to church, you know, and the van door is hardly closed. And you're going, why don't we just figure this out and get up 15 minutes earlier? You know,
yeah. But
it doesn't happen that way.
That's always a challenge. We move to be closer to our church, thinking that, and then you think we'd be on time if we lived in walking distance, and that's still a challenge for us. But that's the goal, is to not be racing.
Yes, yes. Well, I guess it gets the heart beating. So. Well, Miguel, Christina, and your beautiful kids. Let's see if I can remember them. Mateo, Francisco, Dominic, and Kiara.
That's right.
Prayers for all of you, and prayers for number five.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Thanks to all of you. God bless. And I hope our paths cross in person one day soon.
Oh, that would be great. We'd love to meet you.
We'd love to meet you, too. Hey, take care. God bless.
Thanks, Bob. Take care. Yeah, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Wow. What a wonderful family. So, you know, check out the Catholic Herald, the current Catholic Herald. Some wonderful, wonderful stuff in there. Bishop Soto always has a column near the front of it, and in the back we usually have a story, other columns, other stories. Frequently, we've seen. This month, Monsignor James Murphy, with a very, very interesting piece about Dorothy Day. He's doing a two-part series on Dorothy Day. Of course, Monsignor Murphy used to be the associate publisher of the Catholic Herald, and Dorothy Day is such a fascinating woman. In the Catholic Church. In fact, we had Monsignor on to talk about her a couple of months ago, I guess. And so, I highly recommend the this edition of the Catholic Herald. And of course, Bishop Soto with his column on the just inside the front cover. The Lord brings a couple together in marriage for His reasons, not always our own. The bishop writes, while serving at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church in Santa Ana, that's in Orange County, I normally lingered outside the doors of the church after each Mass, conversing with parishioners. On many such occasions, young women would approach, announcing, Padre, I want to get married. My normal response was, do you have a fiancé? With an exasperated sigh, throwing her hands in the air, she'd respond, of course. After my lousy attempt at humor, I then set an appointment to talk with the couple about getting married in the church. The decision to marry is by nature a decision to marry a particular person. As my aftermath jesting implied, no one chooses to get married in the abstract. An affectionate bond between a woman and man has deepened so that they want to spend their lives together. Each person may have his or her reasons for choosing the other to marry, but even the musings of the mind do not always suffice to bring someone to make a leap to marriage. As a young priest, I tried asking the couples to explain the reasons for getting married, for their sake as well as my own. I got answers like, she's beautiful, he works hard, she cooks well, he cares for me. I soon learned this approach did not work. I then turned to asking them to tell me stories. How did you meet? How do you spend your time together? What are your families like? The best question was, what did your parents say? The response to that question always told me a lot. In some rare cases, they told me their parents still did not know. I stopped the interview there and instructed them to start with their parents first. then come talk to me. The stories about the conversation with their parents were always filled with revelations. These are familiar moments, some jubilant, some complicated, others even conflictive. Spoke reams about their past. It also opened a window about their future. Some great, great words there, and I'll let you read the rest of the column by Bishop Soto in the Catholic Herald about marriage, the September-October issue of the Herald. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org. I feel